of gifts. There were some hard feelings among the recipients. So this year, they're getting each student an identical present. They're getting a layout of a blanket, baby blanket, sleeper, and undershirts, so that everybody will get a similar gift. And they need, let's see, they made some gifts, and I don't know how many she told me, but Frederica will accept donations, or you can put it in an envelope in the basket, and if we could give $5 or $10, she'd be appreciated, because she's hoping that we could get up to $100 in donations for this school-age parent program. So what I did is I put in each basket an envelope that looks like this that says school-age parent program. So if you have a contribution for that in the basket, you can put it in here, and then this will be given to Frederica afterwards. Otherwise, Frederica should be here after the service. She's downstairs this morning with the Nifty Gifty. Nifty Gifty got started early this morning at 9:30, and I went down and took a look at it. It's really a neat-looking thing. The kids are all at different tables, and they move from table to table and make lots of marvelous things. So enjoy. Next week, Sunday afternoon, here at Prairie, the Shirai Shemai, which is the Jewish Reconstructionist group in town, is meeting here. And they're going to be having an informal children-focused service to celebrate the second night of Hanukkah. And they're inviting us to join them. If you want to bring menorahs, candles, dreidels, other games, Hanukkah objects, and storybooks. It will be followed by a vegetarian potluck supper, so they want a vegetarian dish to pass. And juice and wine will be provided. They've extended this invitation, and Frederica announced it's in the newsletter, but I think it should be interesting. Does anybody here know what Hanukkah objects are? I'm sort of ethnically impaired here.
I think that they would just be applying what was actually on the list, which would be menorahs and dreidels,
okay,
and chocolate coins. That's sort of the gist of it. Uh-huh. But I was going to ask if anybody knows what reconstructionism is.
Reconstruction. Jewish Reconstructions?
Is it more Orthodox than rhetorical?
No.
Do you know this?
Well, I only know a little bit. A couple of our friends belong to this group, and my wife had an extended discussion with a husband last time. The thing that she understood from him is that it's more of a feminist point of view there. At least that's one element of it. When women have more of an equal role in this version of Jewish religion. That's a part of the
opening. They started renting from us last year, and they seem like a very compatible group. Someone in the group come and tell us what exactly Jewish Reconstructionism is. As I get it, it started in the early of the century, and they do have a training, I'm not sure what they call it, they don't call it seminary. Probably that, somewhere in the West, but it's a quite a liberal group, as I understand it. So they take some positions, apparently, that have gone into the Reform and then the conservative tradition, as I understand it. They were the first to be welcoming accepting of same-sex relationships. So I look forward to hearing more from them. I also wanted to announce that next Saturday evening, or early evening, the Covenant of UU Pagans, the Madison Area Pagan Alliance, and a group called Phoenix Arcana are sponsoring a public Yule ritual. This will be at the Gates of Heaven, which is the Jewish synagogue down on James Madison Park. And it starts at 5. We're asking people to be there at 5, and the ritual will start at 5:30, will last for about an hour, and then there'll be a potluck supper afterwards. So anybody is welcome to come to that.
Are children welcome?
It's not, I think children, it's a lot of movement and everything, so I think, it's all right. I think it wasn't planned to exclude or include children. It's just that, I'm sure we've had children before, I was thinking. Are there any other announcements? Nancy?
On the back bulletin board, there are two posters, and I'm not going to repeat the information, but one's about a town meeting on Somalia, which happens this week, The other one's a Peace and Justice Holiday Fair, and both of those kind of involved in it, so I urge people to take a look at it before they leave.
Susan?
I have a question. Is there a board meeting tomorrow or next week?
It's next week.
Okay.
The third Monday. Anyone else? And Jim has an announcement in the reading.
Once again, this is the time of year that we, the new USC asks that we place a guest at our guest at your table box in your home. We passed around these last week, and for those of you who weren't here, then we'll pass around a sign-up sheet and a box for you to take. In addition, I'd like to read an item from the liturgical material that comes with the guest at your table program. Much, and this item that I'll read is focused on children, which is one of the primary, I guess, from my understanding, is the primary focus of the USC and its activities around the world. There's reading material, a sign-up sheet, and a box if you hadn't picked up one before. This reading that I'll do is called A Prayer for Responsibility for Children. We pray for children who put chocolate fingers everywhere, who like to be tickled, who stomp in puddles and ruin their new pants, who sneak popsicles before supper, who erase holes in their math workbooks, who can never find their shoes. And we pray for those who stare at photographers from behind barbed wire, who can't bound down the street in a new pair of sneakers, who never counted potatoes, who are born in places we wouldn't be caught dead, who never go to the circus, who live in an X-rated world. We pray for children who bring us sticky kisses and fistfuls of dandelions, who sleep with the dog and bury the goldfish, who hug us in a hurry and forget their lunch money, who cover themselves with band-aids and sing off key, who squeeze toothpaste all over the sink, who slurp their soup. And we pray for those who never get dessert, who have no safe blanket to drag behind them, who watch their parents watch them die, who can't find any bread to steal, who don't have any rooms to clean up, whose pictures aren't on anybody's dresser, whose monsters are real. We pray for children who spend all their allowance before Tuesday, who throw tantrums in the grocery store and pick at their food, who like ghost stories, who shove dirty clothes under the bed and never rinse out the tub, who get visits from the tooth fairy, who don't like to be kissed in front of the carpool, who squirm in church or temple and scream in the phone, whose tears we sometimes laugh at, whose smiles can make us cry. And we pray for those whose nightmares come in the daytime, who will eat anything, who have never seen a dentist, who aren't spoiled by anyone, who go to bed hungry and cry themselves to sleep, who live and move but have no being. We pray for children who want to be carried, and for those who must, for those we never give up on, and for those who don't get a second chance, for those we smother, and those who will grab the hand of anyone kind enough to offer it. Amen.
I'd like to stand and read our bond of union together. To the insight and our faith is a conduct and our
We, the members of the prairie, wish to associate ourselves together in a religious community which affirms that we share a common humanity, that we need one another, and that our futures are inescapably bound together. Together we would expand our intellectual horizons, enrich our sensory experiences, and deepen our emotional sensitivities. We would sharpen our ethical awareness and
one with the sky. Let us reach out and touch and one on with the natural world and with one another.
There it is. It starts with a candle and it becomes a chalice. Move it around and think something about it. Say something to it if you want to. Why do you use do this chalice bit? Anybody know? No.
Michael Servetus burned at the stake as a heretic. And supposedly there are some rumors about a I will return. A phoenix type of effort is something having to do with the story that was in some of the art curriculum.
Yeah. Yeah.
My own personal theory could echo that one, but also that light equates knowledge and awareness. And so for me, that's what it represents.
We don't have any rituals. I think one of the few sort of rituals that have come into the whole denomination.
Well, I think that part of the problem, not just our denomination, but almost every religion, the eternal flame of Judaism, the memorial candles, and Catholicism,
yeah.
It's one of those one-size-fits-all rituals that we all need.
Passing that piece of candle around soon to become a chalice had a practical purpose. That's all that was left. I wasn't sure if that would last the morning. How are we doing on that?
Say something to us.
Or say something to us.
In RE last week, we talked about the meaning of the chalice.
Yeah.
And again, talked about the knowledge, but also the Quaker concept of the inner light, the light within.
The light that points upward all the time.
All right, even if you turn it, it still wants to point upward.
And it's a very, very old tradition. Think in terms of the Holy Grail.
The fire
coming
down.
Well, no, but the chalice. It's certainly a very important symbol. And you can go back to the beginning of the Olympics and the old Greek culture carrying that flame. I think it's a rather universal symbol, and therefore it also fits with Unitarian Universalism, because it's such a universal symbol.
I wonder what the origin of the expression "I can't hold a candle to him or her." How did that originate?
I'd like to know. Anybody under words? Nobody know? I can't hold a candle to somebody.
Yeah. We talked about the word enlightenment.
Okay. Enlightenment, illumination. Newman Lumen, says the University of Wisconsin. Whatever that means. Something like God is light, I think.
I saw a bumper sticker that said, someone you trust is one of us, and then it said illuminate. Does anyone know anything about that?
Ooh. Illuminate? That's a secret society, isn't it?
Must be some secret society.
That's the Illuminati. All right.
What?
Illuminati is a
Illuminati
society.
Lucifer, of course, is the light bearer. Lucifer.
Or the morning star.
Yes, he was the favorite before he was thrown out. He carried the light.
Also, the chalice and the flame combine the male and female symbol. Chalice is seen more as a female and the flame is emotion and more as a female.
I never thought that. That's interesting.
Even back even further, fire is really what is partly responsible for human civilization. Our ability to live in this sort of environment, our ability to come together as communities. So it's really fire that gave a lot of power to human beings and brought them together in the community.
What's the group in? Indian Pakistan that goes way back. The Parsis, right? Zoroastrians. Fire is a big part of their religion, isn't it?
I like to think of the song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine." You know, the idea that within each of us is a spark or a flame of some sort that we need to share with the world. Don't hide your light under
a bushel? Wandering around looking for an honest man? Holding up a light? Anybody find one yet? Yeah?
Being very practical, it's about time we had a new candle.
It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. We're sanctifying this one.
Here. When you don't get any sunshine, you have to do the best you can.
How many days sunshine have we had in the past 55 or 60? Two, was it? Since October 22nd or something like that? We need. We're going to bring it back. Yeah.
Biologically, everything, all living things depend on the light.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk these days about people, you know, the reason people get depressed in this climate, this latitude. For some people, it's simply lack of light. So you go shut yourself in a little box with lots of light in it, you feel much better.
That's because you shut your kids down.
Oh! We're going to talk today about epithets. What's an epithet? An epithet is a name you give something.
Positive or negative.
Positive or negative, yes. Sticks and stones can break my bones. Can rude words hurt me?
It sure can,
yeah. I don't know.
And we have a bunch of epithets here of people. I don't like all good ones or all bad ones. Maybe it's enough of that.
You don't have to find any sense.
Oh, I don't think so. Did everybody have a chance to contribute? This is the epithet basket. Pass them around.
Say something to
it. No, don't say
it. Is epi really the meaning afterwards, after?
Epi is upon. Greek scholars. Okay, all right, yeah. To place upon.
But why is it used epicenter?
right on the center. Epicenter. Got me.
Alice was saying she looked it up in the dictionary. What did they say?
I thought that it was always negative, but the dictionary says not. It can be either negative or
it's one of those words that has acquired a negative connotation.
Right. But also,
even epithet itself.
The dictionary said that it should be an adjective, not a noun. And it gave a series of examples of nouns that were incorrectly used as epithet, that you should use an adjective.
Oh.
That's interesting, because my dictionary said it can be a noun.
I would think so. The English language allows you to use nouns for adjectives. I mean, if you get south of the Mason-Dixon line, for instance, the word Yankee is a noun. Except it tends to be used adjectivally down there. How are we doing on that basket? We're still contributing. I haven't seen what's in the basket yet. Are any of these names that adjectives, nouns that somebody here has been particularly hurt by at one time or another? Was anybody's contribution something that really got to them personally as a kid or as an adult? What was the worst thing that anybody could call you when you were a kid? The supreme insult. The fighting word. What? Fat.
Skinny.
You two want to get together.
Fat, skinny.
Too tall. Poor girl.
They call you beanpole? No, not that. Oh.
Sissy.
Sissy.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Chicken.
Chicken. Let's put a picture of a building in our society here. Anybody else want to put one in? The water drinker. Tell me. Tell us.
I'm of half Welsh descent, and maybe you know that the Welsh have a reputation for bending the elbow. Some of them to excess. St. David lived many years ago, and he is to the Welsh what St. Patrick is to the Irish, though he hasn't had the press. But not so much is known about him, but he was called the water drinker. Now, there's nothing that irks a Unitarian nonconformist like another nonconformist that doesn't nonconform the way he or she fellowship in which I became a UU, I was a water drinker, and milk, tea, coffee, but not alcohol. So that had to stiffen my resolve. And when I heard that St. David was called the water drinker because he drank nothing alcoholic, it cheered me up.
I'll tell you.
There's an epithet, the cheese eater.
The cheese eater.
Now, never quite understood. It's a derogatory phrase.
South of the Illinois border, I believe, yes. It's derogatory. This side of the border, I think it's a term of praise.
It's cheese the root. It's the root of cheesehead.
We've got. Okay, I hear these around. Hot face.
What?
Butt face. I've heard a lot of variants on that one. That's never complimentary. Here's an interesting one. Foxy. That's a good word, isn't it?
Well, it can be. But if you apply that to a male, it's not so good.
No. There are a lot of feminist women that don't really much appreciate it. But you know, it's supposedly a compliment. Yeah. It's like calling someone a broad.
Oh, that's a different
thing. No, I think it's
called
a
broad.
Well, okay. Yeah.
But in the not only that, you hear the two U's together.
I'm going to pass these around.
Yeah. You hear that.
Pass them around, we can. Look, dance through that. Pull one out, but just pick through at random. I've got a couple here. Here's one that somebody's mentioned already. Stupid.
No.
Nothing to say for that one. Here's one again, along the same line. Pinhead.
Then you have to cut pound and fathead. Which is which?
Pinhead, fathead. What's going to do?
I'm actually giving the other stupid.
I got another stupid. Okay, we've got three on the intellect already. How did butt face go?
Nag.
Anatomically.
Nag.
Butt face can have another meaning. Butt face and butt head have to do also with the smokers. The term butt. It is being used for smokers. Don't be a butt head. There's a TV ad that says, don't be a butt head.
There's an old country song, an old hillbilly song called Cigarettes, Whiskey, and Wild, Wild Women. And there's a line in that says, a fool on one end and a fire on the other. A fool on one end and a fire on the other. A cigarette.
No, I pulled out nag.
Nag. What does that do to you?
Well, I never aspired to that title. Nobody ever has. Probably I've been called that, and it does have a negative connotation.
How many of the men here have ever been called a nag?
I have one. Oreo.
Oh, hang on a second, please. How many of the men in this room have ever been called a nag? Two? by the kids. How many of the women have ever been called a nag?
How many women have called men nags?
There is some inequality here in the application of this term. Who's got one?
The word nag is related to the word gnaw, G-N-A-W. That's the origin of the word nag.
Gnaw, says George. Nag is like gnaw. Keeps biting at you. Huh?
The one I drew is Oreo. Also apple, banana, coconut.
Yeah? Oreo, apple, banana, coconut. Great words, all of them.
I put that.
What do they mean?
What do they mean?
Going
through.
These are names that people call each other. They're racial and ethnic slurs.
They are used by oftentimes by a particular population against one of their own who's acting too much like white people. Acting too much like white people. Oh. Oreo is a black person who's black on the outside and white on the inside. Banana is used, I think, more in banana growing countries.
In the Asian population.
You're right. The Asian population uses bananas. The coconut would be more the Philippine, Hawaii area where there's, or where there's palm trees.
An apple
is a Native American apple. I've heard that one a lot. And it's very derogatory. When someone is not acting ethnically enough.
Just go on.
This one is pagan. And I have trouble with seeing this as an epithet.
You mean an uncomplimentary word?
Well, whoever wrote it down probably can have that
as
a connotation.
That's its context. That's its historical root.
It's an interesting choice, I think.
It's somebody who lives in the country.
Pagan.
Going back, the
people in the country are
generally, roots, hay seeds. The pagans were the ones.
Which means country dweller, and it's like calling somebody a hick or a hayseed, or it was used that way. And then many people will tell you if they were raised Catholic that they had to donate money to save pagan babies.
Oh, really?
When I grew up, they were known as heathens, but I think that's a stylistic difference.
It was used in the church where I grew up.
Yeah.
To mean non-believers.
The pagans are the ones that they lived out in the country and didn't adopt the new religion. The up-to-date religion, the withered religion, Christianity, they clung to the old one. So historically it's a bad word, but the way I heard it used today here, there was nothing wrong with it.
Right.
One hope.
The same thing is true of witch. I mean, when I was growing up, you call somebody witchy or a witch, and it's taken a lot of adjustment for me to get to know women who call who say I'm a witch. And want it to be viewed as a positive thing.
Yeah.
And even my children think it's very moving to me someone says that she's a witch and think of it as positive. It's a tough stereotype to buck.
Crone is another one that pagans are very familiar with, the three aspects of the goddess being maiden, mother, and crone, the wise one. And yet crone in the general terminology, not necessarily used as an epithet, but certainly not complimentary.
This raises something in my mind. Can you take back a word that's been a bad word and make it a pretty good word?
Sure. Witch.
Witch? It's happening.
With queer. Lesbian societies.
Queer.
Queer. Yeah.
Taking that back, yeah.
Liberal.
I haven't heard anybody take that one back yet.
Which?
Nigger.
They use it within themselves.
Right. Yeah.
How many times in the last 10, 12 years have you heard a politician get up? If she's a woman, first she says, I'm not a feminist.
Yeah.
And then she says, I'm not a liberal.
I don't have that many fingers.
I don't know. On the one hand, on the other hand. What's wrong with liberal? It means free. Yeah.
Someone defined a liberal as a person who has no opinions but sticks to them.
Thank you. That's
when you add fanatic.
Liberal fanatic. Yeah.
That's what I mean. Oh.
But who's got the basket, or who's taken something out that they that really took their fancy? Yeah.
This one says helpful.
Helpful.
Good one. Can't think of anybody that's put a bad slant on that one.
Yeah. Well, sure, you can call somebody a do-gooder.
Bleeding heart.
Yeah, then it would be an epithet, but helpful wouldn't be an epithet.
No, but I mean, you could take it
from that. Yeah, some people take, I've heard sentences like, stop being so helpful.
So you're being helpful again.
Right. There's kind of
an intrusiveness. Sometimes we're right. Our son, our youngest son, said that he didn't like to go to the library and ask for help. I was urging him to go to his library and ask for help when he needed something. I don't go to the library to ask for help because the librarian wants to give me more than I want. Pushing.
How many people in this room hate to stop and ask for directions if they get lost while they're driving?
Do that on a gender basis. Start with
I'm wondering. Yes. it's not that we don't want help. We are directionally impaired.
You don't want help. It's in the genes.
That's what it is. It's right there. More words from the collection. What you got?
Well, this one is somewhat lengthy, but anyway.
Go ahead.
My favorite epithet is a double one.
Uh-huh.
Whether a woman is called a bitch or a man is called a bastard. The insult is anti-female. The shame of the bastard being that his mother was not married.
Ah, that's a
good
thing.
All right.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I remember this when I was growing up. It was not a nice thing to say about somebody.
It was not. And then let me call. There is still a section in the statutes, I think, where they may have just abolished it, called bastards or bastardy, even look in the law books. And this changes to illegitimate children. And it is now non-marital children. I believe that's the correct legal term these days. That's what I'm wondering, yeah.
They have like children.
Yeah.
And mothers are still
making
their own.
They're real. I was very upset when my sister told me that she told my aunt that that the reason my parents were upset is because Lucian is illegitimate.
He's not illegitimate. He's got a piece of paper that says he exists.
I was angry. Yeah. I was angry, you know, in my response. I mean, it's, you know, it's not a word I use. I don't use it. It's not a term I hold. You know, and yet I have a lot of people asking me, how did my parents accept the baby? And I basically said I didn't give them any choice.
Here's the baby.
I was looking through the dictionary last week when I was thinking about the service, and I noticed that so many of the negative, I was thinking from a point of view, of course, too, but so many negative derogatory terms are female-oriented. How many times have you heard a man called a slut?
Randomly from the basket. Woman.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I think I had listened to the book called that.
Right, pick up on that one for a minute. Al's got one. Woman. Woman, lady, girl. How many mature females in this room? Which one would you pick? Woman, lady, girl, to apply to yourself. Woman. What's wrong? I don't know who put woman in, but we got negative connotations in
here. Woman in the experience I had with that is my Polish Catholic father calling my mother that, and he was very angry with her. She was just a mere woman. She wasn't a person.
Women's work.
So when she was, I had a further comment on bitch too. I think when women are complaining, they're more likely to be said that they're bitching, whereas if a man is complaining, I think they're less likely to say that they're bitching. You know, their complaints are more legitimate. But a woman bitching, it's
she's just bitching, but he has a real gripe.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
When one had several daughters, it was always difficult to make the transition from girl to woman.
Yeah.
When you referred to your daughter.
You still talk about the girls?
Pardon?
Do you talk about the girls?
Not now.
Between yourself and Betty. Yeah. Haven't heard from the girls recently. I wonder if the girls are coming back. You know, should we go see the girls?
Yes.
Yeah. On a generational thing, that works.
I have to say that people were referring to my infant daughter as a woman.
Right.
Oh, that's nothing to look forward to.
That would not be logical.
No, but it happened. I mean, conscious would use woman instead of girl, even if, well, that's
see what the boys in the back room will have. The girls in the front office are drinking coffee.
Yeah, well, that's...
Well, it's been interesting to me how being one of the boys is a very positive descriptor, but being a girl tends to take on sort of infantile description of
a... Good old boy is a pretty good person, isn't he? A good old girl?
Unless you're black, that's right.
Right.
In the bureaucracy, you rarely hear a man using the term anymore, but we frequently hear women using the term.
Which term?
Referring to girls. The girls.
Just like L'Oreal, going out with the girls.
No, I'm not certain that that's it. I think there's
an age.
No.
I think these are what might one call them generally not that aware women.
That may be, but I think there's a certain amount of we want to keep the term. We're not willing to let it go to being a pejorative term.
Just between us girls? Anybody say just between us women?
I use the quotation marks.
I'm
ready. Hey, hang on a second.
I think it's just being unaware. So I was with the doctor the other day, and the nurse, this female, said, we have Dr. Moore. He'll come in and see you, or one of the girls will.
Yeah.
And they were physicians, but she insisted on calling me.
Did you point out the province?
No, she went out of the room. Oh. I turned to Meredith and said, I don't think we want a girl thing. I hope it's...
Say that to the nurse next time.
Yeah. My experience with women still using girl is it's the same women who are afraid of the reaction in their office and their families and their peer group of being considered a feminist.
Yeah.
And so they wouldn't dare start referring to themselves as women instead of girls because they see that as a feminist term and they don't want to be seen as that extreme or that radical. They don't want to rock the boat. And so even though they may agree with the philosophy behind it, they don't think that it's... I don't think they should bring that up.
Dolita. And Rosemary.
Oh, let's face it. I mean, there are many who are not inclined to question the status quo. We were quite comfortable with being the girl at age 16 and so forth. I mean, you know, there are many who are quite against abortion.
Dolita? Dolita? Sherry?
I took a job at the physical education department at the university in 1978. The professors were called doctor, not professor, but doctor. The women classified staff were called girls, and the janitors were called boys. I mean, there was that kind of a hierarchy.
Sherry?
This tip fits right into what we're talking about. It says, you sweet little thing, you.
Put it in context. Is it out of the basket?
Yeah.
You sweet little thing, you. I wouldn't mind that.
You don't fit.
It's a put down. It's a put down.
I actually put that one in.
You did.
I was a little short on negative epithets this morning. I think in context that's a nice thing to say because let's face it, being feminine and being small when someone likes you is okay.
You say it to the baby.
Well, if somebody said that to me, in an affectionate manner, I wouldn't mind. But I don't think you really hurl that as a curse at somebody.
No.
It's more for the word opinion there.
it would be okay. But the word thing in the end, you should not put that.
Mary.
Little thing.
Yeah.
You're a purist.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I thought you did. Okay. Well, I thought it was ridiculous. When I first came to the United States, a sales clerk referred to me as, honey, can I help you? I wanted to turn around, I'm not your honey. And there are women that do that, that call other women honey. Really, that bothers me very much.
Susan?
I just want to bring up another point about the girls thing. There's several people I know, basically younger people, who will take girls over women because they're feminist in another fashion and they don't want a word that's a man in it.
Okay.
Oh, I've
never
heard of it. It comes back, the groups you've got out. Certain groups of people that it isn't so much as they want to really stay there, but they feel they use gender or ethnic terms as bringing identity to themselves in a wrong way. Like some women will want to call each other honey, or want the guys to come up and say sweet things. And if you look, and say in the Black American society, if you look at the difference between a Black man that goes out and makes $100,000 a year, he don't call himself a nigger. You'll find that the people that are wanting use it in groups that they want to bring racial identification to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the same way you find with a lot of women, they want to, you know, stand up and bring attention to themselves.
Some time ago, I was at the Hilldale Post Office and I came across, I heard a classic stereotype. There's a woman standing in line there waiting for stamps, and she had two children, a boy and a girl. The girl was about a head taller than the little boy. In comes an extroverted man and turns down to the kids and says, and how is my sweet little girl? And how is my big, strong man?
Yeah. Rosemary, you had some German ones.
Well, they went
around. They went around.
I don't know of any. There's one here that must be German. It says, Oler Zausel.
Oler Zausel.
Is there a translation?
It says approximately old geezer.
I don't sound the old geezer. I'm very annoyed by men of my generation who are older or younger who still haven't learned anything and think they know everything better and so forth. And I would also call the president Reagan and all that sound when I was muttering to myself. When I, you know, doing this stuff. Really
mad, I muttered to myself in German.
I would say, "He's an old geezer who has power and takes power and really doesn't know."
It has all of that.
Yeah. Dead white men.
Yes, dead white men. This leads into something I wanted to talk about here. If I can take charge a minute. Dead white Anglo-Saxon, dead white European.
What does it mean?
The classical English curriculum, you know, the undergraduate level, studies nothing but the works of dead white European men. It's not terribly complimentary. And it grows up around this. I think there's this whole notion of PC on the campus. And the question of hate speech. This is the stuff that's been going through my mind and thinking about what was going to happen this morning. The idea that you can somehow legislate what people are going to say to each other. I'm really torn on this. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want people walking all over campus, let alone the streets of this state or this city, calling each other hurtful names. First Amendment says you got a right to. How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel it's going to be real hard to determine what's hurtful. We've heard several terms here that some people will willingly accept and others may not. So, you know, you end up with a 300-word dictionary.
That's what I was thinking when I had fun this week working on this sheet. Did y'all get a copy? I didn't get one myself. The list of words. Run down it. First is a pair. Asian, Asiatic. That first pair. Is that first one an insult? The second one? Asiatic. I hear that that's an insult. That's a put down to call somebody Asiatic. Mm-hmm. It has a matches with one, since I did these alphabetically on the last page, spinster.
Yeah.
In the law, neutrally, an unmarried male, an unmarried female. A positive. Okay, there's another rehabilitation example.
I think that's one that must be changing more recently, isn't it? Because it's never been.
I have female friends that call themselves bachelors. I mean, rather than bachelorette from the age. They don't like the term spinster. They just use the word bachelor.
Bachelor girl.
Right.
Why don't they like spinster?
I mean, it could just mean a single person instead of a single gender, you know.
Yeah. Let's take spinster back.
Take spinster back? Sure. How about the next one on here, black, and I think I've also got white on the list.
You see Malcolm X?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah. They at the beginning define the word black, and it's a revelation to Malcolm, because as he looks in the dictionary, the definition of black is almost 95%+ negative. And when you look at the definition of black, it's almost purity, real
and true, etc., bright light. And so those words, in and of themselves, have a lot of meaning in the word. Even though they're physical descriptors, when we think of black, when we think of white, they have very strong moral connotations. Black humor is still being used a lot, the term black humor, not meaning humor from the black population.
Right, but
really negative.
Negative, dark.
I'm thinking behind the times in that I'm sort of noting that black is no longer the correct thing to use, and so now you have to say African American every time you refer to a person of color. Or is that, what is the politically correct these days?
No.
I don't know what.
I wrestle with this on campus all the time because I work in an office. Minority programs, the minority program in its, minority in itself is being discounted a lot too. There's a difference of opinion among the African American population as to what I think more and more people are tending to use African Americans. There's some still people who prefer to be called black. And
when I work with a lot of African American and black teenagers, a lot of times when they're doing, they have to put out a screen and it has race on there. And there are a lot of them who will say, I'm not African.
African used to have very bad connotations in the black community. I don't know if it still does. You know, African, the word African. You were crude, you were rough, you were raw, you were out of the jungle. You know, all that stuff in the black community. And,
I'd like to...
Oh, I'm sorry. One, two, three, four, and one.
I'd like to comment just on the fact that Oriental is no longer acceptable. Asian American is.
Oriental.
And so and that's something that I've heard very recently.
No longer acceptable to...
Well, to many, many Asian Americans.
Yeah.
We talk about Oriental restaurant. You should say Asian restaurant.
Asian restaurant.
Because that really covers the whole spectrum of...
What's Oriental say to you? Sneaky, wily, all that rotten stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
It says we don't know if they're Chinese or Japanese, so we just say Oriental.
You all look alike. Yeah.
We don't say
Would cover that, too.
Yeah.
Now, that is something that happens constantly.
Hang on a second. You didn't have your hand up. Who was two?
Long time ago, like maybe as much as 20 years ago, when I was a school librarian, we had in my library a book, Black is Beautiful. It was just about the time, well, somewhat after the time when black was first being used as for Negroes. And it was a lovely book. It gave many uses of the word black that were uplifting. So
uplifting, there we go. Lift them up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kenny, I think you were three. Hang on a second. Ken first.
Among the African-American people that I meet and know, I hear people of color more often. I sense that it's more inclusive. They feel more positive about it. We aren't provincial. I mean, as a group, we're trying to reach out and be a larger community of people, not just African-Americans, by saying people of color.
Yeah.
Are white people of no color?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't feel it.
Tell
us. Well, you know, who's your thought? What would happen if you started calling black people or color people or African Americans or Asians or Orientals or whatever? What would happen if we dropped that and just started calling them by their name? Yeah.
Or if you're pointing at somebody, say that person with that color shirt on or wearing that hat.
She I think I'm doing the eye of the story. I was just so amazed. I thought because my kids were growing up in Madison, we were going down the street, and there were three kids, and I said, I know one of those kids. I don't know the other two. And she said, well, that's Johnny, and that's Jimmy. I said, Jimmy's also. I said, oh, which one's Jimmy? And she said, the one in the green skirt, green shirt. And he is black, and the other two were white. And I just thought, that is not the way I would have kicked him out. And I don't know if she would still do that, but she did that at age 12. And I just thought, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
There's another connotation to black and white that I've learned, technical. Black is the absence of all color, white is the presence of all color.
Scientifically.
Is it the other way around?
Okay. One couple more. Jack and Richard.
One difficulty and advantage is that language is very flexible. So every single word can be insulting, depending upon who says it, how it's said, and the context and situation in which it is said.
And who's hearing.
And who's hearing? That's a good thought. I think that applies to all of these words to some extent. Some of them are pairs, as you can see. Go on, Sherry.
Well, all this black and white makes me think of how people are unable, apparently, to be ambivalent. You know, because it's not that blacks are actually black or whites or white, you know. And it makes me think of the gay and heterosexual issue. It's you're either gay or you're heterosexual. And even though gays may have had long-term heterosexual satisfactory relationships, it's, you know, they don't usually want to say they're bisexual. It seems like people have to think black and white.
We have a need to put. We have a need to put everybody into a box.
Yeah.
And we have a need to put ourselves into a little self-protective box as well.
That's kind of not human nature.
Way at the back.
What about Michael Jackson? He's black, and he had a song, Black or White, and then he writes in his dancing, so there's more white and more black.
It makes no sense to me. Why does he do that?
I had a really funny experience with some people who were Japanese who were saying, you know, because our skin is so light, we think of ourselves as white and you folks as pink. You aren't white, we're white, you're pink.
Yeah. I remember when I lived in West Africa, the term for a white man was not a white man, but a red man. Because they were... They tended to get sun. Carl.
How much of the interpretation of something being an insult has to do with the age of a person? For example, you think an idol over 75 can refer to a group of women as girls more than a person who's in his 20s?
The other question
in Hilton, nasty Polish, Jewish, Norwegian, every other story can be told by a person of that group a lot more than if they are not of that group.
Uh-huh.
For example, some Stolt Norwegians refer to something as Stolt Norwegian humor, and it has to do with you can tell the nastiest stories in the world, Polish, Jewish, black, whatever, on Norwegians, and the Norwegians, I don't say this is true of all of them, but some of them laugh and figure that's real funny.
Carl, I've learned something this morning, is it?
Coming back to it, it's a question I'm raising. How much of insult has to do with the person telling or using the term?
Right.
I've
learned something this morning, Carl. I didn't know that Norwegians had a sense of humor. That is the stereotype, isn't it, though? That the non-Norwegians have it. When you're telling jokes about Norwegians, it always ends up with the Norwegian not being able to see the point. A lot of these jokes, yeah. He doesn't get it. We got to bring this to... Let me suggest what you want to... What do you want to do with this? Obviously not complete it today. Work through it if you like, and I put on the top of the first page, picking up on what Carl said here, your gender, your age. Bring them back here, or leave them here today. I would be fascinated, I think some other people might, to see how we perceive these words. If you want to add any other words, there's space at the back here. And I pick these. Because on their face, they're all pretty neutral words, the most of them. There's one there that's going to stick out, maybe, and that's dumb. This is a result of my background. In Britain, dumb does not mean stupid. It means mute.
Yeah,
but it does not have the connotation of stupid in England. So, and when
not
I was...
All.
Not at all. No, when I was... It's an Americanism. When I was growing up, we referred to deaf and dumb people.
Yeah,
so did we. Deaf mutes. You did too.
Mike, Jack, Dowlings, and I were just commenting that you could just run down the whole page with the line always or sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
But did anybody pick anything that is always?
No. Any of these words always an insult?
Bitch.
Where in the back?
Cripple.
Bitch?
Yeah, except cripple.
Female dog.
How about a female dog?
Huh?
How about that one?
So it's color definition. Retarded.
Retarded? Retarded? Is that always an insult?
No,
no.
I also picked up fat.
Fat.
Yeah.
Is that so? Is fat so far gone that it's never simply descriptive?
We eat a lot of it.
We do. In the adjectival sense.
Like a person.
A fat guy?
Yeah, fat is
Oh, no.
Not
in our culture.
Look at the sumo wrestlers.
George.
A neighbor boy of ours once came home from class jubilant. He cried out to the football team. He told his mother, "Mother, the coach said I had a fat chance to get on the team."
Yeah.
Before we go, could you just do a quickie run and see what other
some other words.
Well,
some of the words. Where are the words that people brought?
Troublemaker.
Troublemaker.
Avaricious.
Avaricious.
Atheist.
Atheist. What you got?
Bureaucrat.
What? Bureaucrat. The supreme insult.
Term called GOMER used in the medical profession, which stands for Get Out of My Emergency Room. Oh. This is referred to people who come in and don't really have anything wrong or have so much wrong that you don't want to deal with it.
Oh,
you know,
oh boy.
Yes.
Richard, what you got?
Arsh mit orin.
Say again.
Arsh mit orin, or ask with ears.
That's another one.
Oh,
I'm
explain.
Old and you are an ass with ears.
What does that mean?
An ass with, you know, walking ass. Arse with ears. An arse with ears. Somebody is so dumb and obnoxious, he's like a walking arse with ears. Not even
an arse with ears. Huh?
Slob.
Slob. Slob.
That would be positive.
Say it again a little louder. Dork, geek.
Dork, geek,
jerk,
and creep.
Yeah, you hear those around.
Nerd.
Nerd. Dweeb. Wimp.
Dweeb.
I've got that slightly
older
as you. Under 3 set.
Okay.
Biggest insult is your poop head. And the other two is. Actually, more phrases, but they're really epithets for those kids are, I'm not going to be your best friend anymore, and I'm not going to invite you to my birthday party.
Yeah.
You're on the bottom, you're not going to be invited to
my
birthday party.
Many of us have raised kids, or remember being kids ourselves. Where do we learn how to insult other people?
Other kids.
Where do the other kids learn how to insult people?
Where does Nana come from?
Who knows? One of the oldest tunes in the world, it's universal, I understand, among all cultures, is the little tune that goes, na, 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 na.
So when you're talking about where the children learn to insult, where do they learn, you know, where does racism come from, and all that just brings up that, a lot of people point out that racism, prejudice, and insulting behavior is not genetic, it's learned.
It usually comes
from when children grow up and their parents are insulted, their parents are bigots, their parents, you know, are this, and then they go to places and they're encouraged to be in groups where the children, you know, grow up as racism and, you know, bigots and all that. And, you know, basically, you know, it is a learned behavior.
I think that's where I wanted to bring it around to. Come on, Barbara. Yeah.
Well, I think with children sometimes, a lot of this comes out of learning to deal with anger. And there's sort of a stage that they go through where they feel all these emotions and they hit. And then you tell them, well, no, don't do that. And then I think it comes out verbally, too. It's like, to me, there's a real strong connection in anger.
In words. I think we have to draw it up here.
Yeah.
I think what we learned from this morning is that we learn this from others.
How about a rose by any
other name? Barbara says, a rose by any other name. Let's finish on this note. Sorry, Richard, we're going to cut it off right there. I asked you at the beginning what it was as children that really got you upset. Going out of here today, if you were to meet a total stranger, and the total stranger were to say one word to you, what word would you want to hear? Anybody?
Happy.
Happy? Hi, says Al. Hello? Greetings? If they were going to say something about you, one word, this total stranger, what would you want to hear? Me, I want thin. I can't have it, but it's...
And you want to
warm,
kind,
friendly,
gentle,
smart.
Young.
Young. Who said young? Bless you.
Helpful.
Helpful.
Mensch.
Mensch. A human being in all senses of the word,
that's
right?
That can be used for pejoratively, too.
Anyone else? Good words?
Interesting.
May you live in interesting times, say the Chinese.
Better than boring.
Peaceful.
Liberal.
Thoughtful.
Loving.
Vital.
Sensitive.
Nice. He or she is
I just like a smile, because a stranger couldn't say most of those things about him. Because a stranger wouldn't know.
I was thinking of thank you, because that would imply you've just done something.
Turn to the person somewhere close to you and either smile at them or say something to them. Let's draw it to an end.
Why smile?
We have a sorrow this week. we had another pet die. We had gotten a ferret this spring. We rescued it from abandonment in Whitewater, and we got very attached to Smokey. But in fact, she got sick late this summer and stopped eating, and we went in and did surgery. She seemed to be getting better, and all of a sudden she just fell apart. So we kind of missing that. He interrupted the play meters last night because somebody asked where the ferret was, and he had to tell them that they were dead. And so it stopped the whole act cold. I need to probably get another one. Although I'm supposed to be enjoying my freedom now, I have no more pets at home. If I get rid of all the plants, then I have no more
freedom. I need a litter box for you, ferret.
Do we have one?
I mean, is that what ferrets require?
They are litter trained. Actually, I use one of these little hospital dish pans, you know. And, but yeah, they can be litter trained.
That's just coincidence that you state that you made me get another one. While I was working last night, a gentleman come through. He's looking for a good home for his female ferret, so why not white ferret?
It's me, Julie.
We have a large joy. We bought our house on the 30th of November. Yesterday we moved into it.
Both of us, we have a joy. We're hoping that prairie friends, prairie members, everybody that knows about it, if you haven't read it in the Prairie Fire already, we have a celebration coming up next Saturday, the 19th. It really is our 50th anniversary on the 19th. Next Saturday, come.
Here.
Yeah. Here. Excuse me.
Any other joys of service?
Yeah.
Meredith announced our joy in the Martha here earlier in the fall. She's finally hearing the request.
She's how old now?
She's about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I have two little sorrows. Phoebe sends her best to everyone. She's been sick for the last couple of weeks and is just barely starting to recuperate now. My other small sorrow is that I won't be able to be here next week because I will be sitting through a 4-hour final exam instead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to miss the service because it sounds like it's been really late.
Rick?
I did bring the tree, the Christmas tree, today. So it's listed on here that we come next week. We're going to bring it inside today, and we'll set it up. It'll be used on two occasions. Saturday night, we'll have a tree for the occasion, and then Sunday for the symbol tree. But it'd be nice if, for those people that haven't bought a holiday tree, that if someone would like to have it, they could carry it out Sunday. Yeah. Which would be, it's a fresh tree cut yesterday, and maybe a $4 or more donation to the prairie is what it's worth. Okay.
Any more?
Today is my 56th birthday. And anyone who works for state service knows what age 55 means. Age 55 is the early stage at which you can take out your state retirement. I, as of January, will be self-employed, teaching music part-time in my home. And with the support of my family and a few close friends, and so I am going to be taking out early retirement, and I'm going to be my part-time working husband.
Okay. I would like to work with it primarily with adults, beginners, and early intermediate.
What kind of things do you
have? All right. I'll be teaching, as I say, beginning and early intermediate, or intermediate piano and voice, accordion, of course, clarinet and recorder.
Good luck. I just want to remind everybody that the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom is having their big holiday celebration on Wednesday from 6:30 till 9 or so. And we're going to have some book crafts and some food and some music. And we're kicking off our Treaty of the Americas treaty that day. So everybody gets a chance to sign the petition about the Treaty of the Americas. I'd love to have you all come.
Now, where is that going to be, Betty?
It's going to be at Press House, 731 State Street.
You may not have been here earlier, but it was announced earlier that there's a flyer back there for it also.
Yes, I was downstairs making comfort.
Okay. Any other joys or sorrows? I had a comment on what Sharon had to say about the black and white. I think it's marvelous that computer screens now come in 64 shades of gray or however many shades of gray that they can print out, and you can start looking at distinguishing all these different shades of gray. And we've often talked about, you know, people not being able to see gray, and now we can have an illustration of just, I don't know how many shades of gray there are, but there's a lot. And we'd also like to welcome visitors. If you're first-time visitor today, we appreciate it if you'd let us know who you are so that we can greet you afterwards. And one of our first visitors is Martha, 3 months old. Anybody else here?
This is my second visit here.
Mm-hmm.
My name is
Mary. Hi, Mary. Hi, Mary.
Two weeks ago today, we were in Corvallis, Oregon, and visited the Unitarian Universalist Church, which was quite near to where we were staying. And it's a beautiful church. It's an octagon shape with glass windows and a very nice yard, so you see the change of seasons. But we came in, and there was a visitor desk, so we put our stickers on, went on into the service, and came out, and not one person spoke to us. I saw a woman that had a visitor sticker on, so I went out and talked to her. And then I guess Carl got talking to a man who gave us the history of the church, but that was the extent of nobody paid any attention.
Oh.
And I guess, I just think it's a terrible commentary on a congregation to respond in this manner.
Lovely city, and Dick and I met there, let's see, it must have been about 34 years ago this last fall, because that's where we did our recording in San Corvallis. See, any other introductions?
My first time here, my name is Jan.
I think we have one more song. What are we going to sing? I got confused, Mike.
Find the Stillness.
Find the Stillness.
I skipped Jacob Ladder, I'm sorry.
All right.
Find the stillness, oh, the stillness.
single tree, and for people who don't know what that is, this is a time where we pick out a symbol of something meaning to us that's happened during the past year, or we hope it will happen, and place it on the tree and tell people about what it means. People use it for anniversaries of various things or personal journeys, so we look forward to you bringing a symbol. And if you forget, you can sort of put it on, an image on the tree. Thank you for coming.